league busts.
With the first pick, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And high value picks.
With the 262nd pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brock Purdy, a quarterback from Iowa State.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Cat pervert.
We're reading Shannon Sharp text messages during the commercial break if you're wondering how our morning's going.
Dude, this lawsuit is wild.
It's a wild one. How long until we see him back on TV? We'll have to wait and see on that one. We're going to go to New York here in about 10 minutes. We'll get their thoughts from the Big Apple on what the Giants are going to do tonight with the third overall pick, which many people tend to believe that the draft will begin at number three. Now, maybe they just go simple. Abdul Carter's the third pick. He's there. It seems like Travis Hunter's going to Cleveland. Maybe they throw a curveball at us at two. I do tend to believe at this point, if Abdul Carter is there at three, that's your pick, and you just see how the rest of the draft unfolds. Maybe we get a surprise, and that's where Joe Shane's son comes in. He's the general manager of the Giants, and if you remember from last year's offseason Hard Knocks, he had a kid. Now, I don't know if it's the same kid or not. This is Carson, I believe.
Okay.
He had to ultimately make his profile private because this went viral last night. But there was one of Joe Shane's kids in the offseason Hard Knocks was laying on a couch in his dad's office at the Giants facility throwing a football in the air, and they were talking about the draft where the Giants had, where was neighbors, the fifth pick, sixth pick, one of those two. And the Giants, so they got an early pick, and he's throwing a football in the air, and he's like, "Dad, just take Jaden Daniels, man. He's going to be great. You only get this job once."
It's the same son, by the way.
Okay, it's the same kid.
Same kid.
So that was a moment that went viral for this kid because it was released months later. We knew the aftermath of it, and you're like, damn, Jaden Daniels ended up being good. Well, last night, Joe Shane's son, the general manager of the Giants, went to Instagram and posted on his story a Jackson Dart highlight.
Yeah.
Which has now made many people connect the dots of, could Jackson
Well, that's what Schrager says, except he thinks they trade back in with like a team like the Rams.
Seahawks have been mentioned in there, too, potentially at 18, moving out of the first round as well and getting more draft capital.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think Seahawks fans, I don't think they're universally jacked about Sam Darnold, and I don't think that they should be. But if they trade it out to allow a team like the Giants in, I think Seahawks fans would be okay with it.
I think you'd be all right with it. Depends on what pick you're getting in return. Giants, like, are you moving for the first? Because I think they have the first or second pick of the second round, if I look.
The Giants?
Yeah.
So you just switch out. So the Seahawks are what? They're at 18, right?
So you move, and then maybe you get, like, a future fourth-round pick or whatever else it would take in order to move back.
More than just switching
out. You're not just trading down to trade down. You're going to get more draft capital for it. But, it's not one where I think you would be trading back as, extreme distance. They have the second pick of the second round.
Right.
So go Browns 33, Giants 34.
Yeah, we'll see, man.
Especially for a draft like this where you're not, everybody has such wild views on where the value is on players and the quality of players.
Yeah.
And so, like, you might have 10 guys who you grade super high who you know are going to be there at 34, and you move with the Giants for that pick.
If Dart is even available at that point, because, again, I think some of the quarterback stuff, that's what's interesting, is not just that position, but the tones and the takeaways of everybody's read on these quarterbacks, and then what happens if three are taken in round one.
Yeah, very well could be.
And so Jackson Dart, so the Giants potentially could be looking at a situation where they get an Abdul Carter, which is almost the best non-can't-miss prospect in this draft to most, and then they somehow still get their young quarterback that if they're struggling through 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, put him in the back half of the year.
You put him in the back half and try to save your job and say, let's build on whatever this kid ends up being.
Yeah, to me, if I were the Giants, and we'll go to New York here in a moment, that would be my thought process. It would be taking a defensive player, taking somebody that you feel confident in with the third overall pick, and then seeing what else is available. Because I just don't think there's that big of a gap this year. Now, this might end up aging terribly. I don't view there being a huge gap between a Will Howard and a Jackson Dart. I don't think there's a big gap there. And if you can get one of those guys value-wise in the second or third round, to me, that's just better than reaching and trading a bunch of capital to move back in. But when the GM's kid's putting this stuff on Instagram, it's like, ah, what's this kid know? Maybe that's going to be the Giants' plan tonight, and they move in. What are some of the nuggies that are standing out to you going into draft night?
Well, the Jalen Milroe stuff is interesting because he can't throw a football.
he's not very
Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks are like openly asking if he's going to be a tight end or a running back.
Yeah, we're changing positions.
Some people think he'd be a top three running back prospect in this draft had he just gone into the draft and said, I'll be a running back. We might be looking at a Cordarrelle Patterson situation here where there's just a positional change and he figures it out and he's an NFL player for a decent amount of time because he's good at a different position.
Taysom Hill.
maybe he's a Taysom Hill type. There's a ridiculous claim by an anonymous person that says he's the greatest running quarterback prospect out of college football ever.
That's a little ridiculous.
A little ridiculous.
This is why
going, this a is lot why ridiculous.
This is why there's too much runway here, man. We're starting to get quotes like that on the day of the draft or the eve of the draft. Really?
I mean, I watched Lamar Jackson play. I saw Mike Vick play. Really?
Really? It's the greatest running
Eric
quarterback.
Eric Crouch only won the Heisman because he ran for 1,000 yards. He was a garbage quarterback.
Yeah, he couldn't throw the football. He was a different version of Milroe. And he wasn't drafted in the first round because people didn't think he could play quarterback at the next level.
So it's just like you got some people really talking themselves into, like, hey, this is why we would take this guy.
Him being at Lambeau is a fascinating move for me. That's just maybe he just wanted
to
experience it.
He's going
to
be a second round cat.
Yeah, he's going to be sitting there all night. I would be shocked if he ends up going in the first round. That's an interesting move. And you just want to be there, see the atmosphere, hang out at Lambeau, like, I guess, but then you're going to be the guy at the end of the night that all the cameras are panning to because you're probably going to be the only one that's left.
Mm-hmm.
I did chuckle at this one other quick note, and then we'll go to New York for the Daily Ticker.
Yeah.
One of the guys who's going to go early. Because offensive linemen always go early, Will Campbell from LSU. The knock on him is that he has shorter arms. Are his arms long enough to play tackle in the NFL? I don't know.
He's looked at as the number one prospect, though.
He should be. He's a hell of a player. And he was asked, I think he was in Lambeau or at Green Bay, he's getting ready for the draft, all that. And he was asked by some reporters, hey, you know, how do you, you know, you have this criticism, you got short arms, how do you overcome it? And he said, that's something I've heard since I was 14 years old. The school I went to, they said the same thing about me. And I thought, really? You were getting criticized at 14 for having short arms? People did that?
Yeah.
When you're in eighth grade?
It's probably when you start training.
I don't know about your arm length, man. Arms, you got the alligator arms.
Well,
you can't play tackle at high school level.
It's not that you can't overcome something like that, but it is. I mean, it doesn't matter to these people.
Is this the hand size thing now with quarterbacks? Small hands, small arms?
It's probably a little bit to that, yeah.
Okay.
You want your tackle to have short arms?
I mean, you know,
edge rushers are pretty fast athletic.
I prefer a longer arm tackle. Yeah. I prefer a longer arm tackle.
I'm curious to see where Connolly goes. A lot of mocks have him kind of at the back end of the first round.
Yeah,
and
might
going
not even
into
be
this process. Yeah. It felt like he was the top end.
Yeah, he might not be a first round pick.
Harmon's probably the most bankable first duck taken.
Out of nowhere in the last 72 hours, we've had injury concerns with Derek Harmon. That's come out of nowhere.
I mean, all of these things pop up kind of at the end.
Yeah.
Walter Nolan might be slipping entirely out of the first round, or he might be a top 15 pick.
He could go 11th overall.
That's who I want him to take.
It could go in the second
if the
round.
Eagles get Walter Nolan, aren't you going to tell yourself, cool, they got the next Jalen Carter?
Yes, I will. If the Eagles take any defensive lineman, I'm going to be pissed. They shouldn't be allowed to take any more defensive linemen. That should be illegal, and the NFL needs to do everything in their power to stop them from taking more defensive linemen. Let's go to New York, the Big Apple. What are the Giants going to do tonight? Many people think the draft starts at number 3, assuming that Ward and Hunter go 1 and 2 to Tennessee and to Cleveland. What's on the docket for the Giants tonight? We'll go there for the ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their 4 coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and their newest location at the south end of Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's go to the Big Apple for the ticker today. It is NFL Draft Day. What are the Giants going to do at number 3? We all seem to know what's going to happen ahead of them, but maybe we get a curveball tonight. Joining us now, Patricia Traina, covering the Giants for New York Giants on SI, the host of the Locked On Giants podcast, at Patricia_Traina on Twitter. You can go follow her there. Good morning to you. What's the vibe like and the feeling going into tonight? Are Giants fans hopeful? Are they pessimistic? Give me a vibe check with what's going on in that city.
Well, good morning, guys. It's great to be with you. I think a lot of Giant fans are optimistic. You know, it's kind of like the equivalent of, you know, your birthday or a holiday where you can expect a present, a shiny new toy. And who's it going to be? You know, I think a lot of people are swinging over to the side. It's going to be one of Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, whichever one gets past the Browns. But, you know, I know there was some earlier talk that maybe it might be a quarterback, maybe Shedeur Sanders, but it looks like that's not going to be the case. And, you know, if I had to, you know, make a pick, I'm going to go with Carter. I think it's going to be Carter because I don't think Hunter is going to slide down to them.
Well, of all the reporting that's come out during this long, drawn-out process of draft stuff, it's been evident through the last college football season to this point, nobody has scouted Shedeur Sanders more than Joe Shane. We know Joe Shane and Brian Daboll might be sitting on somewhat hot seats in New York. Some jokingly said that Shane had an apartment in Boulder because he was there so often scouting him. What do you think changed? What stopped them from maybe going Sanders? I know they haven't made the pick yet, but in your estimation and everybody else, they probably going Carter. What stops them from taking Sanders? What is it about him after scouting him for so long, so extensively, that makes them not want to take him at 3?
Well, I mean, you got to look at it two ways. Sometimes when you spend that much time on a prospect, it could be because you have some questions and you want to be absolutely sure that he's the right fit. And sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying this is the case with Shedeur Sanders, but, you know, it's kind of like when you first start dating somebody and you think, wow, this person's the greatest person on the face of the earth. And then over time, the longer you spend with them, you realize that maybe they're not quite what you thought they were. So, you know, you can't rule that possibility out, you know. And again, I'm not saying that's what the case is with the Giants, but sometimes when a team does that much work on a guy, it's not necessarily because, oh, you know, we love him and we can't get enough of him. But, you know, there might be questions as to whether or not he's truly going to be a fit. And you want to see him in as many different scenarios. You want to talk to the people, you know, in the community. You want to talk to teammates, to coaches. You just want to get as much info as possible. So I think that could be, you know, a reason why. Because, look, the Giants quarterback situation, they kind of got it wrong with Daniel Jones. They can't get the next one wrong. They have to do due diligence. I think that's what they did in this case.
Interesting. We're talking with Patricia Traina. She covers the Giants for the Locked On Giants podcast and the Giants on SI website, at Patricia_Traina on Twitter. You can go follow her there. If I were to ask you to put money on them, doesn't sound like with a 3rd overall pick, but at some point in the first round, because it seems to be a lot of speculation that they're maybe going to trade into the back end of the first round and draft a quarterback, yes or no, they take a quarterback in the first round tonight at any point?
I would say it's a 50-50 thing. I would lean towards yes, because, look, if you look at how the Giants set up their team in the offseason with free agency, they really don't have a need, a glaring need where you have to say, oh my gosh, we've got to address it this year. I mean, you can make a case, obviously, for defensive line depth next to Dexter Lawrence. You know, people will say, well, what about quarterback? But regardless of where they were going to take a quarterback, I don't think that kid was going to play this year anyhow, because they've got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And I think they set it up so that if they took a quarterback, that kid was going to sit. Now, that being said, Joe Shane spoke at the combine and he said, you know, I'm going to keep swinging for a quarterback. Well, he hasn't really taken, you know, a chance on a quarterback since he's become the GM. So I do think this is going to be the year he takes the swing. And if you don't get it right, well, you know what? Next year's class is supposed to be a lot deeper and a lot better than this year's class. So you take another swing. But if you get a guy and he turns out to be a hidden gem, now you've got, at the very worst, you've got a backup for the future, or at the very best, you got a starter for the future.
Patricia, the Giants famously did a weird, like, middle off-season Hard Knocks last year, and I actually didn't think it reflected well for them because a couple things. One, the owner doesn't want Saquon to go to the Eagles.
And Joe Shane acts as if he doesn't even know that's a possibility, and then they don't get him, and he does go to the Eagles. And then Carson Shane, the son of Joe Shane, is famously on a couch telling his dad, you draft Jaden Daniels. I mean, you're only going to get this job once, Dad. And he was 100% right. Jaden Daniels was the quarterback to take last year. They took Neighbors, who had a good year, but not a quarterback. His son has stepped in it again, releasing highlights of Jackson Dart, and now he's had to block his account because so many people picked up on it. Would Giants fans rather have Carson Shane as the general manager than his dad, Joe Shane?
I think given how the last couple of seasons have gone, I would not be surprised. I think they would want anybody other than Joe Shane, given how the last two seasons have gone. But you know, look, I mean, everybody's going to have an opinion. And, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, just because Carson Shane thinks that's who the Giants should take, that doesn't mean that Joe Shane thinks that's who the Giants should take. I mean, we got to remember Brian Daboll, you know, who does Brian Daboll's son think they should take? That would be an interesting, you know, question to answer.
That's great. I love that. We're leading into the draft tonight. Is this the make or break moment for coach and general manager? I mean, we joke about Shane and where his kind of footing is right now. I thought it was interesting with the third overall pick, especially with the chance maybe they at the time were going to take a quarterback. They decided to bring both those guys back for another year. A year from now, are they still the head coach, general manager of the Giants, or does this seem like it for you?
It all is going to depend on if the team gets better. You know, John Mayer at the end of last season said, I need to feel better about where this team is at the end of next year. Now, he didn't say they have to make the playoffs. He didn't say they have to win X number of games. But the problem with the Giants the last couple of years is they have not been any better come week 18 as they were in week one. That's been the biggest problem. Now, whether that's talent, whether that's coaching, whatever the case may be, you have got to show progress. Now, progress is never linear with a football team or any sports team for that matter. But if you still see the same issues popping up in week 18 that you saw back in week one, then you've really got to ask yourself if you've got the right people in place to lead this franchise to the next level.
Yeah, great stuff.
Are you mentally prepared to watch Russell Wilson throw four-yard passes? Like, have you prepared yourself to talk about that? Because it's just got to be awful leading into the season knowing that's probably what the offense is.
Well, I mean, I did sit through how many years of Daniel Jones? So
this is true.
Vanilovic.
You're prepared for this. You're built for this, Patricia. And tonight is the draft. Have a ton of fun. It should be a big one for the Giants. We'll see what they end up doing. Patricia underscore Traina. Go follow her. She covers the Giants. Giants on SI. Locked On Giants podcast. Thanks for the time all the way out here in Portland, Oregon. We were curious what's going to happen with the number three pick. Your insight was great. Let's do this again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. There you go. Patricia Traina talking some New York Giants football.
Yeah, I mean, Carter seems like the consensus. It went from what are they going to do to the last 3 to 4 days, it's become almost consensus.
Whoever's there, whether it's Hunter or Carter, yeah. I would be shocked if Hunter gets past Cleveland at this point.
But I also would, like, I'm kind of expecting him to trade back into the first round to get that quarterback.
That's the interesting move. That's why it becomes interesting for them. How surprised are we on a scale of 1 to 10? Tonight, you're sitting down, got your TV on, you're watching the draft. Pick number one, Cam Ward. Pick number two, Travis Hunter. Pick number three, Abdul Carter. If the sequence does not go that way, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are we?
So are we suggesting Cleveland or the Giants are...
Either they trade out, either they take a different player.
If Cleveland trades out, then
somebody moves up to get a quarterback. How surprised are we if those are not the first three picks of the draft tonight?
If Cleveland trades out, that's going to still assume Hunter's going too, and Cleveland finds more value in getting more assets. If that is not... the order?
It's not the order. You get a random, whether it's Shador, whether it's an offensive lineman.
Six out of ten. I'll be like, But, you know.
We had that in the NBA a couple years ago. Who was it? Was that the Banchero draft?
Yeah.
They were waiting. It's like, who's it going to be?
Paolo or Jabari.
Yeah.
Jabari was the number one for a long stretch.
Felt like he was the lock
the
entire time.
And I think 2 days before the draft or the day before the draft, something leaked and Paolo, like, went huge favorite to be number
the
one.
The odds changed drastically. And the odds usually tell you how this stuff's going to go. And the odds tell you that's how it's going to go tonight. But maybe we get a curveball. You never know.
And there's a lot of other teams, too. Like, is Dallas going to be weird?
Dallas is always weird.
Jerry Jones says they're not even really locked in on everything.
Jerry says they're ready to make big, giant trades.
They're ready to trade for multiple veterans, don't you know?
Yeah. He's coming with his big buckle and hat.
See, D-line prospects that you don't like. Shamar Stewart did nothing but physically passes people's eyeballs test. Walter Nolan is the can't-miss DT. Character issues.
Does he love football?
Does he love football?
Like, remember the Mariota no red flags, red flags? Yeah. That was one of my favorites. This guy's got no red flags. That's a bit of a red flag.
I think people forget that Walter Nolan was at A&M.
He was.
And certainly
he was a big deal in the portal last year. I desperately wanted Oregon to go get him. He was one of the biggest guys in the portal.
And I can understand talking to Ole Miss people who maybe echoed character things. But I also think it's worthy of taking in, oh, he started at the place that had a coach who was just an absolute moron. Just cashing in big checks from the oil money.
A little bit of that.
It was an awful program with
Jimbo Fisher.
He's going to be in our lives again soon.
He's going to get a head coaching gig at some point. Let's have some more thoughts on the draft, shall we? It is tonight, don't you know? The Daily Ticker brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you. It's going to be beautiful. Look at the weather. We're here. The summer's here. Look at the weather. Look at the next 8 days in your weather app right now.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's glorious. There's no rain. It's all sun. It's perfect. Go head out to the coast. They got locations in Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. More draft thoughts next. All right, welcome back in. 8:37 on your Thursday morning. Do we got any locks that we just feel so confident in? This guy's going to be a stud at the next level. Give me the takes. Let's write him down.
Janty's one of you.
Just automatic. Yeah. Going to be a stud.
Cam Ward.
Tyler Warren.
You were high on the Cam Ward supply, man.
I actually think Shador can be a serviceable
Titans
starting quarterback.
Titans getting him a little security blanket. I don't know if you saw that.
Tyler Lockett got
a one-year
deal
with the Titans.
That does nothing for me. It's a cool veteran story. Doesn't do anything anymore. I actually am nervous. If I'm wrong on Cam Ward, it could be certainly that like Cam Ward's just not that good. I don't dismiss that. I have that organization in my brain as probably the reason why he won't succeed.
It's one of the biggest reasons why I'm not that high on Cam Ward. It's because he's going to Tennessee and they suck.
Well, it's not just that they suck now and their coach might be on a hot seat after just one season.
They just fired their GM after a year.
They're keeping Mayo Boy around, which has got to be a little awkward for him, given he was just given an opportunity. He sucked and like, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Go look at their history. Vince Young, Jake Locker, Mariota.
Not a great run with quarterbacks.
It's terrible.
Man.
They have almost never hit in the last 20 years. And so, yeah, I think Cam Ward can be really stinking good. I like his confidence, but I'm not confident about the team he's going to, that's for sure.
Yeah, that to me is one of the biggest concerns. And there's almost a benefit to what's happening right now with Shador Sanders that I think is ultimately going to, if he has a good NFL career, he might be able to look back on this and say, you know what, in the long run, probably nice that that happened.
Yeah.
Like, your point on Pittsburgh taking a quarterback at 21 is very fair. That seems to be a trendy mock right now.
They
that
don't
he
have
falls,
a starter.
Slips, he goes to 21, they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers. Even if you still sign Aaron Rodgers for a year, you can still draft Shador Sanders. You don't need him to start right away.
Yeah.
But there is a massive benefit, man, to going to a place where they know what the hell they're doing. Now, we can look at Pittsburgh and say, your quarterback plan has not been very good. Whatever you've tried to do since the end of Big Ben and moving forward has not worked out for you. But what do they do every year? They go above 500 every year. Mm-hmm. They don't bottom out. They're well run. They're smart. Like, they have a proven head coach. Like, there's a lot of good qualities. A lot of boxes are checked by that organization. That if I, and I, that to me is one of the biggest fears. Like, I saw Mariota was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. They're in my algorithm now, and I saw some of the clips from it, and I went and listened to it because he doesn't do a lot of sit down interviews. But it made me think this week on the eve of the draft, or now the day of the draft, of just Tennessee, how bad organizations can ruin quarterbacks, how bad offenses can be. If they have a bad year one, their coach is getting fired, probably.
Right.
So now you're going into year two with a new offense and a new head coach. Who's his number one weapon? Tyler Lockett's a veteran. That's fine.
Number one.
Who you throwing the football to? How's their offensive line going to be?
Well, they're going to seriously take weapons in the, I mean, you have to be drafted.
At some point, you would think, right? And at what point do you improve the offensive line? Like, that's one of the bigger fears that I would have of Cam Ward. That's a really tough spot. And you got to be kind of a generational talent. Very rarely do you have the Houston or the Washington scenarios that we've seen from the last 2 years where all the stars kind of align with the coach hire, the offseason that they've had. It's like, oh, look at that. Now you're ready to explode. And I'm fearful for Cam Ward in Tennessee.
The receivers are terrible. Calvin Ridley. He's the number one option. Van Jefferson, Bryce Oliver.
Right.
I mean, you gotta give this dude some weapons, and you need to do it now.
With
you
a bad offensive line and an unproven head coach, so I hope he can overcome. I'm rooting for him, but I just don't know.
I never give real solid takes on is offensive linemen. I'm not knowledgeable enough. I'm not going to pretend that I am. Like, I can say, like, oh, I saw that guy play. He's really good. You told me Josh Connerly's good in the NFL. I'm going to go, yeah, I saw him play. He's pretty good. But I'm never, like, I don't give a confident backing to it, right? Like, if you say, who do you like? Who is a lock? Like, Genty to me, dude's a stud. Saw him play. Yeah. We'll be surprised if he's not any good.
I would be very surprised.
Another one that's going to kind of fall in the first round, and I've seen him mock to Denver with Bo Nix, which I think would be fantastic. I've also seen him slip to Houston. Emeka Ebuka is a good football player. I watched that guy play football. Now, again, not a guarantee, but I feel more confident in saying those kind of positions, quarterback. Yeah.
I feel that way about Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren to me is like, if he's there, grab him.
Dirt, I saw him snap the football and in the same play be the guy that caught the touchdown.
That he did.
I'd never seen that in my life.
That he did. Pretty
you
good.
Have to be a massively inept offensive coordinator, head coach, if you can't be successful with him.
Yes, you're screwing something up severely if you can't win with that guy. Let me ask you another interesting team that I have for the first round tonight.
Yeah.
The Bears to me are fascinating.
I've seen Warren mocked and fall to 10, but I've heard that the Jets really love him.
Yes, I've also seen mocks where the Bears trade up and go get Genty before somebody else can get their hands on him. It's just interesting to see where, like, they got a new head coach.
He's getting some CMC love.
Remember what Ben Johnson did in Detroit a couple of years ago? He took Jahmyr Gibbs the 12th overall pick, somewhere in that range.
Everybody's a pick where people were like, what are you doing?
And how good has he been? And they moved on from Swift, and they've, it worked out for him. And so that's been one that I'm fascinated to see. They've improved their offensive line in the offseason. They've hired their offensive-minded head coach, which they should have done a year ago, but better late than never, I guess. Now, how do you go make life a little bit easier for Caleb Williams, who had moments as a rookie, but I would say on the scale, not as impressive as some people thought maybe he could have been. That's a really tough, expectation to live up to, especially when you have the year that Jaden Daniels had. The Bears attend to me, whether they move up, stand pat, do they just take a bland offensive lineman? Do they try and get aggressive and get a Genty? Does a Tyler Warren fall to them at number 10? Bears are very interesting to me.
Well, Denver's been rumored to want to move up. For that very reason,
they're at number 20.
Really deep running back draft. Like, I've heard people say this is the deepest position for the draft is running back. What do they do? Do they stand pat where they are? Because every mock has them getting a weapon of some sort. So who is going to be added to the arsenal for Bo Nix and Sean Payton? I think they're another really interesting team because they made the wild card.
They did.
Bo surprised people. Hand up. But that's not, and they've added some nice pieces defensively.
Good offseason, yeah.
But I've seen this before. I've seen the team, and everybody logically picks them. Does it happen again? Do they take that step? It certainly looks like they can, but what's the weapon they add to help that offense grow? Because Bo did have a nice season. Their offense also wasn't all that different statistically than it was with Russ.
No.
And so it's like the defense is good. They added more good pieces. The offense is the next thing that has to take that next step.
Is Tez Johnson a Bronco at the end of the weekend? They just keep taking Oregon wide receivers?
At this point, I'd be shocked if Bo Nix doesn't get a say in getting another Oregon wide receiver.
Did you know?
Yeah.
They're brothers.
Well, I mean.
They're brothers. They're brothers. I don't know if you know that. I know. It's kind of shocking. They're brothers.
Is it bad to say on air? I don't think I have I'm kind of fence-sitting on Tez. Like, if you told me he has an okay career.
Sixth-round pick, I'm totally fine taking a flyer. I have no clue how he's going to work out in the NFL.
Either.
End of the draft. You want to take a flyer. Those picks don't really matter that much anyways. Like, yeah, dude, I'd take a shot at that one.
Chargers with Derek Harmon make you happy, Swag?
What do we want to see our teams
Derek
do?
Derek Harmon?
Let's wrap up there. Also, get you set for the night in the NBA playoffs. We're the best games on NBA TV. Why? I don't know. We'll wrap it up next on The Fam. We've almost made it, ladies and gentlemen. We've almost made it.
What have we almost made it to?
The NFL draft.
Oh, yeah, it's here.
It is tonight.
I hope people... Look, I say this as sports fans. Because we hear a lot of how awful the NBA is, and those people clearly don't like basketball.
I'm anticipating this one because it's not a foregone conclusion like for the first hour.
Knicks Pistons on at the same time as the draft. I'll be curious to see listener feedback of screen... Like, how did you delegate that time? Was it a small screen, big screen?
Yeah, how are you flipping back and forth? A lot of it will have to do with how the Pistons and Knicks game is going on.
See, that's the multi-view for me. I would have both on.
Yeah.
I'd put the draft on for the pick and then flip it so I hear the game in the non... Because I don't need to hear what Mel Kiper
thinks
about
the draft on the second screen.
The draft is something you put on the phone or something. Yeah, it's easy.
But then if I see a surprise pick, then I can flip the audio real quick and go, whoa, what happened there? Or somebody says we got a trade or whatever.
Well, let's first ask. Sounds glorious. It's a glorious sound. Let's start with, if you were a Seahawk fan, what would you want your team to do at 18? Trade back, offensive lineman, best available player? Are we going need best available or more capital?
I don't know. Unless there's somebody that was projected to go in the top 10 that slips for some
reason. A lot of mocks haven't taken
reason.
The offensive lineman from North Dakota State.
Gray Zabel.
Gray Zabel. It's a great name.
Yeah. I'm at a place where I'm not even a Seahawk fan. I actually root against them because of the division. But also I'm very honest about this. I don't know how, as a Seahawk fan, you're excited watching them take another offensive line prospect.
They've taken a lot of swings over the last 10 years.
Lucas is fine. Cross is fine. There's not anything extraordinary there, and they keep whiffing.
They do.
So I don't know where the trust is collectively for Seahawk fans. I'm not going to speak for them. I'd prefer to see a defensive lineman. There's going to be some that fall to you. Like, for me, I'm a Niner fan. I really hope they take the swing on Walter Nolan. Because you know who's probably going to? The friggin' Eagles. And if the Eagles friggin' want him, he's probably going to hit.
But wait, he's not from Georgia.
Well, they need... Well, he's from the SEC.
Two different SECs.
It's either Georgia or the SEC. Yeah. Go all in. They need to rebuild their offensive or their defensive line anyway in San Francisco. Kinlaw was an absolute dud of a pick. Goodbye. Hargrave was a disaster signing. They said bye to who did they trade to the Colts? I'm blanket.
Faulkner?
Buckner, like they need to make a pick defensively, and I don't care about the noise swing on Nolan. If I was a Seahawk fan, I would also want them to take a defensive lineman.
Okay. Well, that was my next question. What do you want your team to do? Swag is a lifelong Chargers fan. What do you want the Chargers to do?
Trade up and get Tyler Warren. I don't know what it costs. Trade up and get Tyler Warren with Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. It's the perfect marriage. So maybe if Cortland's still there when their pick actually comes,
it could be around a 20 or 22.
A tight end just
Who's
makes
Cortland?
That offense.
You keep saying Cortland. I'm looking for who Cortland is.
The Michigan tight end.
Colston,
sorry.
I was like, who the hell is Cortland?
I think you interpreted his name wrong.
I interpreted it wrong.
You saw the C. Huh?
Colston Loveland.
I like him. He's good.
Yeah, I've seen him. Most mocks have him top 15. Trendy pick maybe to the Colts. Potentially, Anthony Richardson needs more targets. Did enjoy this from a Titans fan. Said, hey, thanks for the reminder. My team's dog ass. Enjoying the offseason, not having to hear about them. Thank you. Sorry, I apologize.
I'm a big Cam Ward guy. You should be excited.
That's on me.
I got the paper in my backpack of dirt poo-pooing Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's going to be fantastic. I think he will play above Callahan and kind of restart things for you guys. Air McNair,
2.0. Knicks Pistons tonight. Who gets a 2-1 series lead?
I don't know. How do you pick against the Pistons right now?
Got to go Pistons.
No, you got to go Pistons.
Home game, that atmosphere should be good. Thunder Grizzlies, nobody cares. Nuggets Clips, game of the night in the NBA, no question. 7 o'clock.
I want the Clips to win because I want my series prediction to be right, but my bet says Nuggets.
Oh, I think the Clips win big tonight.
Oh, they win big tonight. 5.5 is your line there.
Double digits, I think the Clips put it on them.
I'm going to go down. I am hammering the Thunder again tonight. Hammering. 9.5.
How bold of you.
Hey.
It's got to be minus money.
Minus 9.5? Yeah, I mean, it's probably a minus 110, something like that.
Don't play us off. What are you doing? Is it Broadway?
Not done yet. That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. At Dirk Sprague on Twitter, at 1080TheFan on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We love you all. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.